Sunday after Christmas is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, starting with verse 13.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There, he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. And this, brothers and sisters, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So, this first Sunday after Christmas, I don't think we're allowed to dwell on any nostalgic, any lovely picture of a baby in a manger. Magic went away. This first Sunday after Christmas, we already have a weeping and suffering God. This is not the kind of greeting, brothers and sisters, truly, and a sermon that we want to have while most of us still have our Christmas trees on, you know, our snowmen in our yard or in our front lawn, and our Christmas trees lit. I think I said that already. Let us think about the smiling faces we say. Give us, like, when I wake up my kids, when they were little, and I would wake them up early in the morning, 5 more minutes, Mom, 5 more minutes. We're like that. Please, let us, for a while, just think about the smiling faces of our kids opening presents, our children playing with their new toys. Give us a break. Of communities in harmony and just Christmas caroling and peace on earth and goodwill to all. Let us enjoy a little bit more of that. 5 more days, Mom.
I remember as a young mother, although I'm still a young mother. But I remember every time I would look at my babies when they were sleeping, when they weren't aware that someone was watching. I remember just staring and just watching them. And whenever I did that, I saw so much promise. I saw in my little babies peacefully dreaming or sleeping in their cribs so much promise, but also so many dangers. So many dangers at the same time. And I would think of all those dangers that were waiting outside. And I'm still here thinking I'm in Puerto Rico, right? I'm not even thinking I'm here. All the evil I'm thinking about, all the evil that's outside my house that I cannot control. All the things that I cannot protect my little babies. All the things that I can't do. And to the extent of how what would I do to protect them? What would I do to protect my babies? And I have an 18-year-old baby, and I have a 17-year-old baby. And still, when I look at them, I think about all the things that I would do to protect them, to guard them. The mystery of the incarnation has to lead us into thinking that that was also the truth for Jesus. Same thing. The same thoughts Mary and Joseph had, with a little bit more of a complication. But yeah, my kids weren't the Messiahs. But the same thought, the same worries. So if we think of Jesus as God incarnate, we need to know that those realities were around that little Palestinian baby boy. If not, he would not have been one of us. That he was fully one of us. It is, brothers and sisters, it is, and this is my favorite word, as you know, it is scandalous that the child of promise would have to be carried away 200 miles, 200 miles to a foreign land to be hidden. Scandalous. But I want to say this again. The promised child was taken by his parents 200 miles to a foreign land just in order to be safe. Let's put a pin on that, shall we? It is scandalous, therefore, that children in our own town are hungry. It is scandalous that children in our own places, in our own communities, are neglected. It is scandalous
pure scandal. It is scandalous that the world, this is even more scandalous, that the world stands by as children in other countries and in our own suffer deeply, deeply from hunger, from violence, and in our case, from separation from their own families. And you might say, there she goes again. Yeah, that's what I'm called for. And left to die in cages as a result of negligence. This family that we sing, that we've been singing about the last week, Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Tuesday two times, at 5 and 7. This family that we've been singing about is a refugee family. Yeah, it's a refugee family that has to flee in order to keep their baby safe. Could not go around that. Think about that for a moment. The refugees, Mary and Joseph, and little Palestinian Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, Christmas is a refugee story. And I love reading the Gospels and in relation to Christmas and the birth of Jesus, because they have different sides of the story. You get one story in Luke, you get another story in Matthew, you get another story in Mark, and John just says, and we heard it on Christmas Day, that the Word was made flesh and the Word was God, and all a bunch of philosophy, basically. This is a family, but in Matthew, the Christmas story is a refugee story. This is a family seeking safety and peace. A normal family, just like you and I, seeking for safety and peace. Our southern border, brothers and sisters, is full of families seeking for those same two things. Safety and peace. And instead of helping and walk with them through the process, we separate them, we put them in cages. Instead of helping, we give them even more horror. As Christians, we cannot celebrate Christmas and ignore what is going on in this country. We just cannot. We just cannot. We cannot sing about baby Jesus and the three foreigners that visited him with gifts and not think about babies like baby Jesus that don't have a place to, don't have a bed. Don't have proper covers, but just an aluminum thing. I am sorry, but Christmas has to lead us into this type of conundrum.
Then what's the meaning of Christmas? God has taken on humanity in all its forms. In all its forms. That's the good news of Christmas. That's the good news of Christmas. God took the place. God became as real as you and me, as tangible as you and me. And today, Jesus looks not like us, but like our neighbors, brothers and sisters at the border. Jesus looks like one of those kids in the newspaper. Jesus looks as one of those kids that has already lost their life in these past months and years. This family looks like the ones we want to get rid of. Mary and Joseph, the ones we were singing about last week, they look like the ones most of us want to get rid of. They look like those people who dress differently. Remember, they went to Egypt. Dress differently, observe a different religion, shop for, and this I know, shop for special hard to find foods. You know how much I have to drive to get what I like to eat, what I'm used to eating? I have to go all the way to Milwaukee, and sometimes, and especially this Christmas, I have to go drive all the way to Chicago to a little tiny supermarket to get what I wanted to eat for Christmas. They are the ones that have special holidays. The 6th of January, I get to have, again, Christmas at home because it's Epiphany. And Latin American families believe that not Santa, but the three wise men visit their houses. And the camels eat grass, which is put in a shoebox underneath the kids' bed. So that's gonna be happening at my house. The 5th, thank God we don't have snow, because I'm gonna be able to cut some dry grass and put it, and they have to do it. They have to do it. I don't care if they're 18, 17, 25, and they're at home. If they want presents, they have to do it. Because then the wise men don't come. We celebrate different holidays. Don't understand or respect local customs. You don't know how many times I've said or done things that they're not supposed to be said or done. The people threatening to take someone else's job, they look like them. They look like them. The people that need to learn our language, as if this nation has an official language. The people that need to learn American. I have a very interesting definition of that, but I'm gonna say it later on, not today. Not from here. This family today looks a little bit as a family that's very close to you all. Guess what family is that? Your pastor's family. Christmas as the incarnation message is dangerous business, brothers and sisters. It is a scandal. And this passage today reminds us of that. Reminds us of precisely that. The rulers of this world, and this is throughout the ages, the rulers of this world will not stand a new system breaking in. They will not. History says that same story. You just have to open a book and find the same thing. Still, God took humanity in all its forms. What does that mean to us? And today I don't have answers. I have questions. What does that mean to us, that God took humanity in all its forms? How does that look like in our context? That God actually took humanity in all its forms. What is our role as justice and peacemakers? The God with us, brothers and sisters, the God with us message is an invitation to wrestle with these questions. Christmas is an invitation to wrestle with these questions. And you know what? May the Holy Spirit give us wisdom. May the Holy Spirit give us boldness.